turn our attention to John chapter 18, verse 28. Then led there Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat. See, when I want to speak on why man remains in blindness, it is somewhat corroboration of what we heard in our session this morning. And as I again say, it is not by design. We don't sit down and plan to bring our messages together. It happens this way sometimes. Now here in the text, Jesus appeared before three earthly authorities after his arrest. Two are mentioned in John's account. Caiaphas the high priest, the son-in-law of Annas, and Pilate, the appointed Roman governor. Jesus also appeared to Herod, the Judean king, who is not mentioned in John's narrative. The Jews had no legal grounds to execute the Lord Jesus because they were under Roman authority. So they sought to manipulate the weak Roman governor, Pilate. Pilate built it under pressure so as to remain or to maintain friendship with Caesar and to hold his office. He played to the gallery. You know what that means, right? Playing to the gallery. He did the things the mob wanted him to do. And sometimes we can be like this. But all of this was done in fulfillment of the scriptures that had predicted these things. But this evening, I want to take this account and present a gospel message showing three ways people in and out of the church remain blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why many will not submit themselves to Christ and his leadership, his authority. The first one is religion. Verse 28 says that they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early. It was in the wee hours of the morning. It was a joke court, a hanging court, a mock trial. That's what it was. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. From Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, in verses 12 and 13, to Caiaphas, where Jesus had most of his interrogation. You remember, this same Caiaphas made a tremendous prophecy in John chapter 11 when he gave counsel to the governing body called the Sanhedrin, saying, "It is expedient that one man die for the nation, that the whole nation perish not." The Bible says this he said not of himself, but being the high priest that year, prophesied that Christ would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that he will gather together all. And that was a tremendous prophecy. It was correct. But Caiaphas was a hypocrite. And it shows that God can use anybody to proclaim his word. John 11:49-53. Caiaphas was the ringleader over Jesus' death. He made this statement, which is correct in the spiritual sense, but he said it in a political sense. I hope you understand what I'm saying. He was speaking from a political perspective that one man died for the nation of Israel. But God has revealed a tremendous truth to show us the nature of the atonement. It only goes to show that men can have the word of God and twist it to mean what they want it to say in the name of religion. And today there's a lot of that. And you should be careful who you listen to. You hear a lot of ungodly politicians quoting scripture. And don't pay any attention to that. You're just Caiaphas saw Jesus as a revolutionist who was about to bring the Roman authority upon God's people. He did not see Jesus as a savior. A high priest was supposed, by the way, to preside over life, to save life. He should have been seeking the well-being of his people. This high priest presided over them. It was sad. Religion. Mark's account. This high priest violated the law. Looking at religion. Violated the law he represented. You remember in Mark's account, Mark 14, same account, verse 62-63. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he, Jesus, held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest, Caiaphas, asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, or the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." For Jesus was declaring that he is the judge in front of the high priest. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witness?" Jesus was placed under oath. I don't know if you're aware of this. And he had to answer. As he was accused of these trumped up charges, he declared himself to be Christ, the Son of the Blessed. The priest tore his clothes in a pretense of pious behavior, something that was forbidden. The priest should not have torn or rent his clothes. Turn with me to Leviticus 21, verse 10. Quickly, Leviticus 21, verse 10. It says there in Leviticus 21, verse 10, "And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whom, whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes." This high priest did a terrible thing in renting his clothes. When he did that, it signaled the end of the priestly era. It came to an abrupt end. No longer would God be interested in any earthly high priest. The rending of his clothes was a dramatic picture that God had rented the priesthood, the responsibility, the custodianship of the Jews away from them. He was acting up something that he didn't know, that you and I can study. Religion can blind men from seeing the gospel. The text says that the Jews did not go into the judgment hall for fear of being defiled for the Passover. But this is hypocritical. They are arranging the death of Jesus, yet at the same time they are pretending to be holy. They want to keep the Passover. They're fulfilling the law by bringing the Passover. Blind leaders of the blind. There was the very substance of the Passover lamb, as was introduced to John the Baptist in John 1:29. The Jews are blinded by their religion. It is not an accident, brethren. For the psalmist says in that beautiful messianic psalm in Psalm 69, verse 22 through 26, these words, and I read them to you, I have them jotted down. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and let their loins continually to shake. Pour out thy indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. This is a prophecy concerning national. You should read this. It's a messianic sign. You cannot pray like this. Jesus could pray like this. Pour out wrath of him. Holy wrath. Well, well. How can one be so hardy? By the way, brethren, we can be like this. We can be like this here. Yeah? We can become hardy. The gospel. I heard what the Father said this morning. We can be like this. How can men pretend to be so holy and at the same time so wicked? It is possible that this can happen today. That we can appear to be holy and at the same time present the very gospel. I have had men stand. Perfect for me, read the scripture I read. Men that have an agenda. I don't know how it can happen. Yes, this can happen. At times, the stories we hear are puzzling. How Christians treat the church. But then, no Christian can see Jesus with their eyes. But we certainly see his ministers. We see the body. We see these things. How we treat these entities is how we treat the Lord Jesus. So let us not cast a snare on these ones. Religion, even the Christian religion, can bind us. The Jews, in their blindness, could not defile their bodies, but they rather defile and demand and damn their souls forever. How can one be so blind by religion? So just as these Jews sought to observe their rituals, we can observe certain rituals and not see Christ. Think of this very table here that people get all excited about when this day can live. And these are the same ones who are quick to ridicule the ministry. You know, Isaiah said it so well when he asked, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? To me, saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings and lambs and the fat of beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of eagles. When you come to appear before me, who else required it at your hands to shred my corpse? Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 1. So one of the main contributors of spiritual blindness is religion. And religion is not bad if it is the right one. But it can be a source of blindness. The church, what we are doing, that's what I'm talking about. Sunday worship, all of these things, blindness. Another thing that keeps people in blindness or yielding to the claims of Christ is position. Earthly position. Pilate held an important position. He was appointed Roman governor over Judea. We know this history. He was not concerned about the law of Moses. That was not his concern. He represented the political wing. But he was not different in his response to Jesus. Pilate then, verse 29, went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" You see what he called Jesus. As far as Pilate is concerned, this man is not a criminal. Pilate fled to the gallery, sought to appease the mob. 3 times he saw no fall in Jesus, but was fed. Remember what the Apostle Peter said in Acts 3, verse 13 and 14. He said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted you." We just read that. The text said that Pilate was determined to let Jesus go. But in John's account, John 19, verse 12, the Jews played the ace card, if I may use that philosophy. Yes, man. You should be a devil. You should be familiar with that. The Jews played the ace card. Notice in that text, John 19, 12, "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.'" That was the is. You do not have to ask where Pilate's loyalty lay. It is like many today, when pressure comes home in their lives, whatever the pressure is, you see where their loyalty lies. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Look at this, what's going on today with this epidemic. You see where people's loyalty lies. Not in the preacher and the preached word. You should take this seriously. Position in this life, position at work, maintaining a relationship at any cost, has kept many away from the Lord Jesus. And I have experienced this. Many times you have to just tell people where you stand. And some people wouldn't do it because of fear. Pilate allowed his position to blind him from acknowledging Jesus. Pilate did not know the Lord Jesus, by the way. And there is a lot of dispute whether ever he became saved, I don't know. You know, it may have a way of writing his books. Pilate belittled Jesus when he said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" He never referred to the Lord Jesus as who he is. And you know, some people refer still today to Jesus as the man upstairs. I hope you don't do this at your work, the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. Or when there's bad weather, people say, "Well, Mother Nature was not good to us today." I hope you don't use these phrases. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. I show you this morning that God is the common creator. People today want to forego the name of God because it doesn't make them politically correct. They will offend their peers. These are the same people you and I brag about and like. And we don't ever listen to this, but listen to these people. But we seem to like them. We love with them. Man, we in love with them. Not me. All these statements are meant to exclude the Lord Jesus out of the minds of men and out of our minds and take away his glory. It reflects the hatred, pardon, unconverted heart of men. And listen very carefully. Jews answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. A malefactor, by the way, is a criminal. Pilate sought to pass responsibility to the Jews. Verse 31. And Pilate said unto them, take you him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man death, it was correct. At the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death should die. What did he speak concerning death? But he said the Son of Man would be delivered into the hands of Gentiles and be mocked and be crucified. This is what is happening. So these are some reasons, brethren, why some people remain in blindness, unsaved, religion, position in this life. But there's a third one, personal opinion. Opinion, verse 33. And Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Pilate, like many others, was of the opinion that Jesus was a political king. He heard some of the accusations about Jesus being king. Verse 34, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? You see, he was hearing. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now this text, one of those texts that have a dual meaning. Yes, it was the nation of Israel that delivered Jesus. But we, Christians, can be considered his own nation. We, the Christian, the nation of priests, delivered Christ to be crucified. He died for our sins. And you see how these words are played out with so much gospel truth in it from the lips of wicked men. Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. And don't forget that the priests were the ruling body that God had ordained. They should have been respected. God put them there to do a task, to fulfill their task. Sovereign God. I not only saw him as someone claiming to be a king. This was his opinion. But the Lord took this question and opened up a branch to us in verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Let's show you that I am correct. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But Peter was going in the wrong direction. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Unfortunate today that we have to go through a legal situation in Zimbabwe to get a man out of the church house. We have to deal with a lawyer. And this is what people resort to bring us down in the mud. But for us to fight at their level. So we pray for mercy, pray for grace, pray for wisdom. And you know, going on the mission field, you have to be very prudent in setting legal matters in order. Don't ever think that Brian's going to be a fool. You better know a legal counsel. You better put documents in place. That's why the church has a constitution in there. And that's why I told you guys, saints, man, the state runs the affairs of the church, the internal affairs of the church. Read the Constitution. You're not reading. So I stand on solid ground when I make these announcements. That I can hand a document to the judge and say, look, this is what the church has established. But these words of Jesus should put to rest any possibility of Jesus establishing or even insinuating that he will establish a material kingdom. One major cult teach that Jesus will come back one day and reign on the earth, whether it be a recreated earth, with 144,000. Probably heard that. But some evangelical churches say that there will be a future 1,000-year rule of Jesus on the earth, and yet Jesus so clearly says here the nature of his kingdom. These are opinions of men. I heard Ronald say, I was reading that Lusaka. No, it was Kabaka, but I was there. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion, but there is something wrong with one being opinionated. You know the difference between the two? Opinionated is when your opinion is the right one, and all others. Some people are like that. These things are opinions of men. Jesus says, his kingdom is not of this world. It is not fashioned by the thinking of men of this world. It is not sustained by the means of the world. It is not managed by the wisdom of the world. The Lord's kingdom. We should know this. Remember Daniel foresaw the kingdom? Said it will be an everlasting kingdom. It will not be made with hands. Daniel 2:44 says, in the day of the kings, the Lord will raise up a kingdom. It's talking about Christ's kingdom. Daniel was speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He was predicting the coming Messiah and his kingdom. There's only one king that lasts forever. The Lord's kingdom does not have any earthly trappings. This is an opinion many have today. Opinions can leave one in blindness. If you simply have an opinion about the scriptures without ever checking to see what other parts of the Bible say about a particular subject or a doctrine, we can be left with a faulty opinion. Salvation and eternal life is not a matter of opinion. I cannot stand before you as your servant with an opinion that was handed down by others. I could have done that. Pilate was left confused, as all earthly thinkers would. He responded in verse 37. John 17. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause am I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Poor Pilate. Pilate was not of the truth. While these are some reasons why people that I've shown you the Lord Jesus and the gospel, the Apostle Paul really gives us the real reason why many people remain in blindness. And he said in 2 Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here Paul gives the principal reason why men are in unbelief. One, they are lost. To be lost is not to know the way to God. Yes, we hear this all the time of the way, but we never personally saw it that way. Second reason the apostle gives that men are blinded, they are blinded by the God of this world. Satan keeps men in darkness. I don't know how he does it. He's men in darkness. He uses the system of this world. He uses the things and the pleasures of this world to keep his subjects from Christ. One of the chief reasons why men will not come to the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly is because the pleasures of this world seems more attractive than the joys of knowing Christ as Savior. Don't kid yourself. Remember what Hebrews 11 says, 25. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God that they enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ far greater riches. For he had respect to the recompense of the Lord. Look at Moses. Moses looked at Christ, and he looked at Egypt, and he refused. Next Pharaoh, you know, next king of Egypt. Let me be with Christ and the suffering ones, and as a Christian. Let me be with Christ and not the pleasures of this world. You see, blindness, something like that. People think that coming to faith in Christ will interfere with their normal lives. Men do not mind mentioning things such as prayer or statements that we are praying for you, we are in this together. Whoever they're praying for, I really don't know. Because they're tired of hearing that. But just call them to faith and repentance. Just call them to come away from their gods. Worship the Lord. You'll see what is keeping them. Others have another position. Their priority over commitment to the gospel. Some people would rather keep a position at work, even though they hear what they're sacrificing, they'll rather keep their position. Oh, no, I can't. Yes, my friend, possible for something. They would rather keep a position than seek more. Whether these are three reasons that I give this on the context, we see them. Religion. Position, opinion. Let all of these things be fashioned by the gospel, by the word of God in your life. Bless you, unite in one. Our Father, our God, we give thanks for these insights. Lord, may it never be that we are clinging to a position in this life and abandoning the things of. Or help us not to be so religious, so locked into our system, that we ignore solid gospel truth. Because we were brought up in such a religious way that we must deny the sovereignty of God. Help us, O God, to be faithful to you and to love you.
Amen.